2 Corinthians chapter 4. A very simple message from God's Word for those who have ears to hear, and you do. That's why you're here. That's why our people all over the nation, in many places in at least 29 foreign countries this past 24 hours, have been observing with thanksgiving the 32 years of our research and our teaching ministry. Chapter 4. Therefore, having this ministry is the text, as we received mercy, we faint not. Having this ministry, as we have received mercy, God in His mercy and grace has made it possible for us to live in this day and time and to have this ministry of rightly dividing the word and holding forth the greatness of that word boldly to men and women. We faint not, which means we don't cop out on it. We don't swoon away at it, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. And those words, hidden things of dishonesty, literally are the shameful secret things we don't want anybody to know about. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. It is absolutely possible to handle the word of God deceitfully and not even know that you're being deceitful about it. They must have had that problem even back in Paul's day. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Every man's conscience, every believer's conscience in the sight of God. I will set my ministry and my walk before believers like you. But I don't give a hoot about the God rejecters and the unbelievers. I'm not going to say, well, why don't you commend our ministry? Why don't you stand with us? Why don't you help us in the outreach? That'd be stupid. Right? We only commend our ministry among God's people who love God and who love the integrity and the accuracy of His Word. If our gospel, verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's veiled, is the text. It is veiled to them who are perishing. Not who are already lost, but who are in the process of getting lost unless they get to God's Word. Quite a verse. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He's the image of God, doesn't say He is what? 4, verse 5. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the what? That's right. You don't run over your town, your area, your community and preach yourself and say, look who I am. Look what I know about the Word. I've taken a class called Power for Abundant Living. I'm smart. No, you don't preach yourself. I don't preach VP Weirwill. Some of you have heard me teach thousands of times. And time again, as you've heard me these thousands of times, we just never even give any illustrations out of our personal lives. And we've got a few miracles, signs, and wonders. That's right. But you see, I'm not trying to build on my experience. I'm trying to build on the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. You can't guarantee VP Werwell's experience, but you can guarantee the Word, ladies and gentlemen. What the Word says, it means, and it means what it says, and that you can guarantee. And when it gives an illustration, it is as much God's Word as God is God, and it's genuine. But you can't always go by men. Sometimes they catch fish this long and they get that long when they tell about it. But God's word's always the same length. So we preach not our what? But Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. If that word of God said, for Christ's sake, your Bible fall to pieces. It says, for Jesus' sake. And that's in every critical Greek text, Estringilo, Aramaic, and all the rest. If it said, Christ, your Bible fall to pieces. Because I'm not a servant of Christ, I'm a servant of Jesus. The word Jesus is always used in relationship to the earth and his humility, his humbleness, and where he lived. Christ is always the messianic. And this is why when the word of God says Jesus Christ, it means one thing. When it says Christ Jesus, it means to emphasize something else. God is not stupid. Here we're servants. We preach Christ Jesus, the what? The Lord. That's what we preach. But ourselves, servants. Bond slaves. For Jesus Christ on a horizontal level. It is my job to bleed my heart out for you. It's your job to bleed your heart out for somebody else. You have to let people walk on your feet until they learn to walk on their own. You got to break the bread of life to them until they learn to break their own. We are servants, bond slaves, on a horizontal level to God's people, but we're sons of God in a perpendicular relationship with him. In Christ Jesus. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath, past tense, shined in our hearts to give the light, to give the light, to give it, to give it. The light, not darkness, to give light of the knowledge, of the knowledge of the glory of God. In the face of Jesus Christ. How beautiful. We are light. What kind of light? Light to give the knowledge of God. How are people ever going to get that knowledge of God without God's word? They aren't. So it's the word that builds believing, and it's believing that brings people unto salvation. It's the word that sets men and women. But there's a word in here. Says in the face of Jesus Christ. That's sort of neat. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ reminds me God was in Christ reconciling what? Right. Jesus said, he who hath seen me hath seen what? We are complete in him, Colossians says. Therefore we're to walk in the light as he is the what? And if you got lit up big enough, you're going to shine when you walk. Not walk in your own sparks, but you're going to walk with the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the last verse of that previous chapter said it like a diamond. Behold, I'm in chapter 3:18. We all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the what? The word glass is mirror. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of what? Have you ever thought about looking in that mirror and say, well, there stands the glory of the Lord? Woo! Just rolled out of bed. The glory of the Lord. Says you're changed into the same image from glory to what? As by the Spirit of the Lord. What you look at, honey, is what you become. You look at the negatives, you know what you become. You look at the Reader's Digest, you become a Reader's Digest. You look at people's fears and what do you become? What you look at, you become. Well, ladies and gentlemen, why not look at the greatest thing God ever gave the Lord Jesus Christ? Look full in his face, and all the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and of his grace. What you look at, you become. You just take a good look at that word of God and let that word of God begin to live in you, and you're going to shine. People are going to come over to you and say, well, what the heck happened to you? What's the matter with you? You used to be negative like all of us, and now something must have hit you. Are you on dope? No, you just got to look at him. And it's written on your face. All over the world, letters come in to us telling how people's lives are being changed by our people who are just walking. Well, what are they seeing? They're seeing the glory of the Lord. You know, you walk downtown and you walk by someone and you say, well, God bless you. He looks at you and says, oh, Lord, what insane asylum did that fella come out of? Did this, I guess, here at Ohio State campus. The kids walked by, and one of them walked over and said, are you a lunatic? Oh. Everybody else walks down to Ohio State campus. And imagine seeing a way believer coming down, walking by, say, well, look at you. You're beautiful. God bless. It's a new trip, isn't it? It's like at the Shelby County Fairgrounds. Remember that, who was it? The sheriff department said the only word God he heard up there was God bless at the Rock of Ages. Sort of blew his mind. Well, it ought to. It ought to. You see, you get close enough to a fire, you're going to get burned, right? You Jewish rabbi wearing that hat? Well, good. Welcome to the fold. Even if you're, we got a few converted ones in here. Glad to have you. Old Mark back there, he likes bangles and dollies or whatever that stuff is. You get close enough to the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll turn you on. He'll turn you on and make you so excitingly exciting that unless people want to be excitingly exciting, they can't stand you. You know, if you're so used to eating bologna with all those fingernails in it and toenails and all that other stuff, and then somebody comes along and offers you a T-bone steak off of one of those Aberdeen Angus bulls out in Minnesota, you say, boy, that tastes awful. Well, your life has been so acclimatized to bologna that you can't stand the good stuff. Remember my illustration of the little fellow riding his bicycle with crooked handlebars? Right. You get so acclimatized in life to being negative because everybody else is negative. Therefore, you think you have to be negative. And if you're not negative, they think there's something wrong with you. Boy, this thing is really screwed up in our world. Do you know it? It's just all kiddywampus. That's one sure thing we could never do, and that is hurt the world with what we teach. If we were dead wrong, we couldn't hurt it. But boy, I know that when you get close enough to the Lord Jesus Christ and renew your mind, something happens in your life and in your walk. You effervesce and you glow. That's right. And when you walk down the streets, you've got a new step in your soul. Both ways. Right. And for once in your life, you can throw your shoulders back and you can breathe and say, well, praise God, I'm glad it's a new day. We got major problems at the International at times. You know our problem? We hate to go to bed at night for fear we're going to miss something. It gets to be a heavy. So you stay up till 2:30, and then all at once you say, well, boy, I better go to bed because at 5:50 we run this morning. But boy, just wonder, if I go to bed, am I going to miss something? Life gets so excitingly exciting, you wonder where you've been all the days of your life. And why didn't you hear about it? A lot of you people used to go to Sunday school on Saturday or something. And some of you went to Mass, and a few others, you did a few other things. Some of us went to catechism for 3 years, you know. What a trip. What a trip. I went through all that machinery, too, you know. And then I went through all those nice little schools, properly educated, you know. Wanted to go to Vassar, but they wouldn't have me. So, well, let's get back to the word. I love you. We have this treasure, verse 7. We have this what? Treasure. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. Well, now, that's sort of nice. Why do you want to be the ugliest earthen vessel in the world? You ever thought about that? I know it's in an earthen vessel. But why do you want to look drippy? When you have Christ in you, the hope of glory, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Christ and Christ in you, and you want to look drippy as a vessel, you get polished up a little bit. I know it's an earthen vessel. We got the treasure in an earthen vessel. But I think some people believe that that earthen vessel, then once it's in there, the earthen vessel has to look real drippy, pukey, whatever else you want to call it. Right. Terrible. This is why in our ministry we've seen so many changes in people's lives, because once that word begins to live and they realize that it's the word that lives in them, it's the earthen vessel. They are the earthen vessel, but still the word. And if you're going to reach people with the word, you got to get that vessel up there that people aren't turned off by the vessel all the time. That's right. So you at least comb your hair once every 3 months and get the mats out. Even Stanley's dog or something. This treasure in earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That's right. We know it. The excellency of the power is of God and not of us. God wrought it in Christ. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. God did it. We know that. But it's in the earthen vessel. And ladies and gentlemen, if it's in you, how are other people going to hear it if you don't carry it? You're that earthen vessel. And unless you lay out the word of God to them, they're never going to hear it. Unless you walk the talk and talk the walk, they're never going to walk the talk or talk the walk. Verse 8, troubled on every side, yet not what? Sure. Perplexed, but not what? Persecuted, but never forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our what? For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, on the horizontal level, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal bodies. How many of our people across the world have been set free physically? Just by God's word. The greatest healing I know is God's word. We teach God's word and people get delivered all over the world of all types of sicknesses and all types of disease. Because he said, be made manifest in our mortal what? That's you sitting there. That's, you know, pinch yourself. That's the mortal part. Sure. So then death works is enough, but life in you. We have the very self same spirit of faith. See that spirit of faith? It reads literally. We have the very self same life of believing. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I what? We also believe, pistuo, believed, and therefore we do what? Right. We believe, and therefore we what? That's right. The life of believing that we have, according to his word, is like Abraham when he believed God. Therefore he spoke, therefore we speak God's word, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake. All things that God wrought in Christ are for you. Your what? Is that what it says? Well, that's what it means, and why don't you act like it? What? That the abundant grace, that's grace multiplied. If you want to know what the real in-depth truth of grace is, ask the Corps. Spent a whole, what, 2-3 hours just talking about grace the other night? Might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of what? For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward is renewed day by what? Boy, when we understood that verse, it was a great day. You can't renew something you haven't got. So you got to get born again of God's Spirit. And that Christ in you, the hope of glory, is the new man. And that one has to be what? Renewed. David, this earthen vessel every day gets older, gets to the point of perishing, but that Christ in me, the hope of glory, is renewed day by day. And the only way you can renew that day by day is by speaking in tongues in your private prayer life. The only way. I can renew my mind day by day by putting on the Word of God. That's all. You can put on the Word of God in your mind and you can renew your mind, but that doesn't renew the new man. The man is spirit. God is what? Christ. God in Christ in you is spirit. You're born again of God's Spirit. Now how are you going to feed spirit? You can't feed it apple butter, mashed potatoes, gravy, cookies. This written word is not spirit. Have you ever tried biting spirit? This one you can smell. You can taste. You can touch. That's why any unbeliever can read the word, memorize it, quote it back to you, because it's in the senses world. And I know thousands of people, and I've met at least 1,000 of them personally, who know more scripture than I could quote, but they don't believe 1/10 of what I believe, or you. The man, Christ in you, must be renewed day by what? You can only renew it after you got it. You have an automobile with no tires on it. Before you can recap them, renew them, you've got to have a set of tires. Well, once you've got a set of tires on that automobile, if you want to, you can recap them. You can renew them. Once Christ lives within you, you can renew that Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is renewed and strengthened. That's the inner man. Well, what verse? Here, 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are what? But at the things which are what? For the things which are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? You can see me. That is what? But you can't see the Spirit of God in Christ in me. You can't see God, for God is what? That which we can see is temporal. These beautiful flowers, temporal. Microphones, trees. Our bodies, our earthen vessels, temporal. And we don't look at those things. We look at that which is eternal. And that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You never look on a man or a woman in the senses realm and compare one individual with another. You only compare yourself with Christ, never one with another. I don't work with my people. That's why I never ask anybody what they've done or what they've been in the past. I don't care, because you've all been lousy anyway. So, same as I don't care, but I want to see you born again and see the Christ in you. And I want to see the greatness of that walk in you. So I don't look on that natural man, because that natural part of man is only temporal. That which you really can't see is that greatness of that Spirit of Christ in them. That's eternal. But I can see your walk. I can see your talk. I can see your witnessing God's word. And it's that word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that liveth and abideth forever. This is our 32nd anniversary. Up until a few years ago, hardly anybody listened to our teaching ministry. I think some of you know Mrs. Wirral and I made a trip to India where the heathen are. That's what I was taught in the church. We took a collection for him every Sunday for the poor heathen in India. Then we took a collection for the poor heathen in Africa too. I had it all to do over again. I'd take collections for the poor heathen neighbors next door in America. We got down to that poor heathen country, and I taught the same word there that I teach here in the United States. And about the second or the third night, we had 15 or 20,000 people. They had walked barefooted. Some had ridden on the outside of trains, hung on the outside for hundreds of miles. Some had slept in fourth quarters or whatever you call fourth rate stuff. Others had come whichever way they could. And that was the first time I ever saw the Word of God really live. People were born again of God's Spirit, like the Word says, and immediately spoke in tongues afterwards. Today you can get born again of God's Spirit and die, never speaking in tongues, even saying, well, it's of the devil if you did speak in tongues. But those poor heathen out there just got saved and spoke in tongues. We had blind eyes healed. Lame people walked. People who had, whatever, your hands get eaten away. The leprosy, fingers restored, toes restored. Something I haven't seen in the United States to this day, and I preach the same gospel here I preach there. Why? Because it's difficult for us to believe for tomorrow. You're going back into a community that's totally oriented contrary to God's word. Tomorrow you're going back in a community, in a business, in shops, in factories. I'll bet not very many of you work in a shop that they open with prayer in the morning. I'll venture you don't go to too many union meetings where they open with prayer and mean what they say and say what they mean. So what is our life? Well, men have to make up their minds. We made up our minds many years ago that if this was wrong, we'd go down with the ship. John Paul Jones, only God said it. If this word of God is wrong, then I've staked my whole life on it. Then I've taught you wrongly. And all the thousands of people whose lives are being touched with our ministry are being taught wrong. But if it is right, I think we've got something to say to our day and time. We say it with boldness, but we say it with great love, great compassion, but we never back up on the word. I can back up on my grandma, but I'll never back up on God's word. It's that word of God that sets men and women free. And it's that word that we are seeing moving with the greatest efficacy that it's moved since the first century. I thank God for being a part of your life. I thank you for being a part of my life. I thank God for all of God's people around the world today who are joined with us in the quest of biblical research and teaching. And as far as I know, ladies and gentlemen, the Way Ministry is the only biblical research and teaching ministry in the world today, where we are honest enough to come to God's Word and change our minds. And I pray that as long as God gives me breath, by His mercy and grace, this ministry shall never be any lower than thus. What happens to it when I'm dead and gone? Or should the Lord return, we won't have to be concerned about it. But should I pass away before the Lord returns, what happens to it after that depends upon you people who have heard the Word of God, what you do with it. Whether you stand in commitment to that Word or whether you cop out. Whether you walk on it and let people dog you out of it or just stand on it. I think you're here at this 32nd anniversary because you want to stand. I think you're here because of what God wrought in your life. Looking out across this audience, I know many of you, and I know that you're alive physically today because of God's Word. I know you're filled with the Holy Spirit manifestations because of God's Word. Well, if God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son for us, can you and I do any less than to love Him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength? He will supply all of our need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So it's the greatest time in your life. The greatest day in the history of the world is tonight, today, where we have the freedom to hold forth God's Word. And we're going to march, and when we march with God's Word. And that's why I'm glad to have you a part of this ministry. And I thank God for all of you.